Lord Jesus Christ.
And I speak to you in God's holy name, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about Thessalonians and giving us all an historical framework of both the gospel and the second lesson this morning. And the reason for that is we live in a time when often people look at us as progressive Christians and say, well, it's not in the Bible, or this, that, and the other thing is in the Bible, and turn the Bible from being a book about God and a book of love into a weapon. And so we have to be careful, because sometimes when this happens to us or people who are near to us, they get hurt. And I, as a pastor over the years, have spent a lot of hours with people who have been injured by well-meaning church people who have taken the Bible out of context and turned it into a weapon. Because it's not meant to be a weapon. It's meant to be a book of love, a book of grace. In fact, the Bible is not a book. It is a library of 66 books bound together under two covers, with actually more books on top of that in a true Anglican Bible, because we have what's known as the Apocrypha, or the intertestamental writings, that were inspirational at the time of Jesus and used by the Greeks and the Hebrews at that time, but were later set apart by 90 AD. The second reading from 2 Thessalonians is often been claimed as a book from St. Paul. It's not. Paul was long dead when this book was written. There are three Pauls in the New Testament. There's the original Paul, who wrote seven books. And then there's two other Pauls, and they're not really Paul. They just claimed the name. That's how you got your book, your writing into the New Testament, by claiming this great author. And these two, and we can tell by the Greek that's used and the historical things that's mentioned when they were written. Because Paul was dead. The real Paul was dead by the year 54. And so they're citing examples of things that happened long after Paul was dead. So we know it's not the real Paul. And this citation from 2 Thessalonians is really foundational to what some people call the Protestant ethic. And it's been used as a weapon, because so-and-so shouldn't get any help, they're just a layabout. We shouldn't give the poor any social services. We shouldn't be looking after those who are mentally ill. They really don't deserve it. And those kind of things are a misuse of Scripture. But it still goes on today. There is a reticence often in our society to look after the poor, which is really contrary to the teachings of Jesus. And this 2 Thessalonians was written around the year 78 to 80, in that period of time. It is during a time in which there was a persecution of this fledgling Jerusalem-based Christian church. The temple had fallen, and so the people who were Jews felt that their connection with God had been severed. Because they believed that God, it was like a stovepipe. The temple was like a stovepipe. They believed that God was up there, and there was a connection to the temple to them underneath. And when that was severed, they felt they were godless. They were without God. And they were shattered when the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple in 70 A.D., and it was also written just at the time that Mount Vesuvius had exploded and destroyed Pompeii, which was one of the major metropolitan cities of the then known world. So they felt the end times were coming. So it was a time of great catastrophe for the people who lived at that time. And we always have to remember that when the scripture was written, the various books within the Bible, it was written by human beings who were influenced by their own time and circumstance. The Bible was not dictated. The Bible is a book of wisdom, but passed through human hands. And so humans wrote it, and they were human as they wrote. And so this book, 2 Thessalonians, almost did not make it into the New Testament. It made it in more easily than did the book of Revelation, but it still was on the edge of not being included in the New Testament when the New Testament was being formed between the years of about 60 through to the year 300. And it did not make it into a number of lists that were books considered to be read as being holy. There were about 400 different works that were being considered to be included in the New Testament. And you only really get into it when you start reading the history of the development of the New Testament. The reason I share all this is that be careful that when you hear judgments being made, and they are making judgments about people in our midst, that that's not the Jesus way. Jesus included the outcasts. He included the lepers. He included the people, the Samaritan woman at the well. And on it goes. And so this book is reflective of a circumstance of persecution and of worrying about the institution of that early church, that some places were not chipping in their allotment to keep the church in Jerusalem going. And it's a reality. So I bring that to you because I think it's important. The gospel today was Luke wrote about the same time as the epistle that we read. And it's in a similar time of the temple having been destroyed. And it was a mark to the people of the time. There's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of turmoil. But people are going to turn against you for standing up to the teachings that I've given you, Jesus is saying. But not to be afraid and not to stand away from your ethic. But stand up for your ethic no matter what is being thrown at you, and not a hair in your head will be hurt. That part of the Christian message is to stand firm with what is your own ethic of following Jesus. The ethic of loving the stranger, of loving others, and not doing things just because it's expedient. And we see examples of that happening in our own world today, where people are being pushed to stand away from their ethics in order to perhaps gain money or favor from worldly leaders, and others are standing firm for their ethic and getting a lot of castigation for it. In fact, this past week, you only had to turn on your TV for 20 minutes and you'd see it playing out in front of you. But Jesus calls us to stand firm for our ethics. Our ethic of love and reconciliation, of forgiveness and inclusion. And not to be corralled by other thoughts. It's often challenging to do that. But it's important to stand for that. in the letter I read from this morning, from this town, the ministerial is not going to go away from caring for the poor. The ministerial is not going to succumb to the pressures, but will stand up. It's tempting to not muddy the waters or upset the boats or whatever kind of phraseology you want to use, and to just go along. But we as Christians are called to stand by our values. And our value, our principal value, as I mentioned last week, the Ten Commandments for the Christian church are what we call the Beatitudes. And we circulated those last week. And the Beatitudes are important, for Jesus calls us to love, to be peacemakers, to reconcile, to be inclusive of those who society often wants to leave out. And in your own personal lives, you're going to have people who are going to say, why do you hold that value? Why is it that you embrace gay people as being equal, or people of color being equal to white people, or immigrants and refugees welcoming them in to the Canadian culture? Why do you do that? Stand up and remember to say, because I follow Jesus, and this is what Jesus would do. And there's going to be people who are going to be angry at you. And it could be members of your household. But as Jesus said here, we are called to do that. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit will be with each of us as we stand up in our own individual ways to proclaim the message of love and reconciliation, of forgiveness, of hope and inclusion, and care for the planet. I pray that as we receive the sacrament to which we're all invited, that that presence of God's love within us will energize us to go forward and live the gospel as well as love the gospel. May God bless us all. Amen.